When Hazrat Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come to Medina Munawwara, the practice of tatfif was quite common. الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُفْسِرُونَ. So the gist of tatfif is, when you are receiving, then you ensure that you receive in full, whether it is by weight, whether it is by measure, whether it is in an employment, whether it is in a contract. So whatever situation you are in, but when it is your due, it is your right, then you are quite thorough about it, that you are receiving it in full. You don't want anybody to rob you. You don't want to be cheated. You don't want anything that is fraudulent. You want the person to give you your due in full. وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. But when giving out the dues to people, then they wouldn't take that level of caution to ensure that what they are giving is complete, is full. I need to give you 2 kilos. I'm not cautious about it. Rather, I will try and see that I save something. I give you less than 2 kilos. If I am taking out work from you, it was agreed that you will work for 8 hours, I will try and take out 8.5 hours. Or if it was just one type of work that was agreed upon, then I will try and take out another type of work from you. So in any way, some way or the other, I want to see that I get more than my money's worth. Whether that what I have got, what I have achieved, what I have acquired in the process was halal or haram, whether it was right or wrong, whether it was correct or not right, or not correct, I'm not concerned about it, but I want to see that I get more than my money's worth. From a person, from a deal, from a transaction, from whichever situation, but more than what is my money's worth. This is what I'm concerned about. So this was the practice that was in vogue in Medina Munawwara before Rasulullah ﷺ could come. Rasulullah ﷺ had observed this and these verses were revealed. Thereafter, the people of Medina Munawwara became so particular in this respect that it's over 14 centuries that have passed. Up till this day, you will see if you go into any shop, any apartment in Medina Munawwara, then you will find that they will give you slightly more than what they're supposed to be giving you. If it is rice, if it is any commodity, whatever commodity, but they will ensure that they will give you something more than what you really deserve. So that practice of tatfif was totally forsaken, and forsaken to such an extent that to this day, a person may not have other things in place, but he will ensure that he gives you more than your money's worth. Now when you do things for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala will give you a return for it as well. Initially what you did was what your eyes could see and what your mind could calculate. Your mind's reasoning was that if I give slightly less, say each customer I give 5 ounces less, by the end of the day perhaps I will save up 5 kilos. And if I save 5 kilos, 1 kilo is 100 rands, then by the end of the day, I've saved 500 rands. And now I'll go on calculating, averaging 15,000 rand in a month. So I will try and calculate in that way. Now, a believer, he reasons differently. He reasons like this, that I need to take my procedures, the procedures that I need to adopt, I need to take. I can't avoid the procedures. I need to adopt the procedures. But by the same token, more than adopting procedures, I need to trust in Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala will make this thing work. The other way is that I only rely and I only depend upon my reasoning and my understanding. And the way of a Muslim is he adopts the procedures, but he depends largely on Allah Ta'ala. In fact, he depends entirely on Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and the procedure is just one of the formalities, one of the routine that he has to adopt. But he depends and he trusts only on Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Generally, when we talk about trust and tawakkul, then people have a misconcept. They feel the meaning of trusting Allah Ta'ala and tawakkul is to abandon all the means. Abandoning the means is not tawakkul. Look at it. In every department of life, we adopt the means, whether it is in deen, whether it is in dunya, but in every facet of life, we adopt means. In imparting deen, don't we adopt means? We have kitabs, we have teachers, we have madrasas, we have causes, right? What are these? These are all means. If it was that tawakkul would mean that you abandon all means, all procedures, then why is there madrasas? Why are there teachers? Why are there bayans? Why are there anbiya alayhi salam? Why is there the kitabullah? So all these are there in place so that we will adopt these procedures, we adopt the procedure, we come to the goal. Anbiya had come, then the deputy of the anbiya had come forth. If it was that hidayat could come directly, then Allah wouldn't have sent all these anbiya alayhi salam and their na'ibin and their deputies. Rather, Allah Ta'ala has ensured that Anbiya alayhi salam will be there, and there will be thousands of their deputies, of the representative of the Anbiya alayhi salam all over the world. Any part of the world, there is some representative of a Nabi, there is an alim, there is a buzurg, there is a sheikh, there is someone that is out there to see to your needs. Now, this says it also. Okay. كانت بنو إسرائيل تسوسه الأنبياء كلما هلك نبي خلفه نبي ألا ولا نبي بعدي ولكن ستكون الخلفاء فتكثرون. بنو إسرائيل, the system that Allah Ta'ala had for them was the Anbiya alayhi salam would administer the affairs, kings, leaders. Were all Anbiya alayhi salam. Anbiya were ruling over them, they were administering the affairs. Sometimes it is Musa alayhi salam, sometimes it is Harun alayhi salam, sometimes it is Yusha bin Nun, sometimes it is Yusuf alayhi salam, sometimes it is Yaqub alayhi salam. So, but all these people are administering the affairs. Mundane affairs, religious affairs, all are being administered by the Anbiya alayhi salam. One Nabi passes away and he is succeeded by another Nabi. But as far as this ummah is concerned, then Allah Ta'ala has made such a system that there is not going to be a Nabi after me. After me there is no Nabi. This whole series of Anbiya alayhi salam comes to a halt, permanent halt at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no Nabi to come after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then, who is going to give this type of guidance and instruction? Who is going to give it? Then you need someone to continue. If deen is an important thing, then you need people to be giving out guidance all the time. So he says, وَسَيَكُونُ خُلَفَىٰ. There will be khulafa. There will be the successors of the Anbiya alayhi salam all over the place. Whether it is in Africa, whether it is in America, whether it is in whichever part of the world, but there will be someone that will be the successor of the Nabi, and they will be in abundance. So this is going to continue. Hence, if the meaning of tawakkul was to abandon all type of means and procedures, then why did Allah Ta'ala have to send all these successes? He sent them because the system of the dunya requires that they must be cause and effect. Allah Ta'ala wouldn't have created such a big thing like a sun. He would have, just with his qudrat, he could have created heat. But he created a thing like the sun. He wouldn't have created a thing like the night and the day. Then for the relaxation of man, he would have just made them relaxed. Just automatically, just you go into gear and there you feel relaxed totally. Then you come out of gear, then you back into action. Was there anything stopping the qudrat of Allah? Nothing stopping the qudrat of Allah. But he created all these procedures that you need to adopt these procedures and you need to respect them as well. As Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah says, sometimes a child falls ill and the child becomes a little bit serious. This is also a type of a punishment on the parent. Because the parent doesn't want to follow procedure. The parent needed to do two things. One is to see that the child is dieting correctly. In a winter's day, now he's not taking popsicle, ice cream, etc. He's not loading himself with sugars. He's not eating the right type or wrong type of food. One is the parent need to see to it that the child is behaving correctly. And number two, if he had some type of an ailment that was complicated, then the procedure that I have created was that you need to see a physician. You need to take some guidance. Now, why did you bypass the system? You didn't take the precaution as far as the food, etc. was concerned. Nor did you take that type of precaution that you needed to see a physician. So there was a system that Allah has created that you fall ill, so you go to a physician. So why do you bypass the system? So you bypass the system of Allah Ta'ala. This is also a creation of Allah Ta'ala. And that creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was meant for you to adopt. You need to go there. Why need to go there? So that is why, one of the reasons why this type of azab comes to the parent, that you're not following procedure. I don't say we have so much of dependence and so much of trust that we begin to take the next extreme not to go medical aid and do haram and halal and whatever else, but you're going to the other extreme. Just in a reasonable manner, reasonable extent, you adopt the procedure. So Allah has created these things that you follow the procedure, not that you abandon these procedures. So when I say when we adopt the procedures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we go according to the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there will definitely be something forthcoming. Here, he is given in full with trust and reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I will give in full and Allah ta'ala will bless me again. I will give in full and Allah ta'ala will grant me again. He doesn't have that type of a reasoning and understanding. You see that extremism. He went into that extremism. He only believes in what his eyes can see, what his reasoning can understand. So he saw, within his reasoning, he saw that if he's going to cheat each customer for the day, then this is the amount that he will make at the end of the day. Accordingly, at the end of the month, this is how much more he's going to make. So he only applied his reasoning. And his reasoning took him to this end. The believer believes in something beyond this, beyond the reasoning. And that is the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. That if Allah Ta'ala wants, number one, in the little he'll make it so abundant that not only will it suffice, but it will be satisfying also, it will be satisfaction. And it will clear all your doubts and fears. And here you will have, perhaps if you follow the wrong, you'll have slightly more, but you will be infected with two type of problems. You will ever feel insecure. I've got so much now, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen tomorrow? So that feeling of anxiety will be there always with you. You will never get that type of satisfaction that you need. And number three, the third type of punishment, your monies will be used in the wrong avenues. Wrong avenues, but you're not supposed to be spending and it's going to be spent. In an avenue that was not right, that will not bring you any satisfaction and joy, that type of avenues, that money is going to be spent. Why? You didn't use that wealth in the correct manner. We needed to see that when you took out that type of work from that work of yours, then you needed to compensate him for that extra hours. But no, you didn't do that. So that money is going to come to you. When that money is going to be coming to you, that is going to be used in the wrong way. Now, you got on tile there and you paid 50 rands for one tile. I'm talking of facts now. I'm not talking of hearsay facts. One tile, 50 rand. And what joy it brought to you? For a day or so, for an hour or so, it brought you some type of satisfaction. After that, it's forgotten. But within your mind, there is that lurking, that lingering fear, and that lingering uneasiness. I cheated this person. Yeah. I cheated that person. Okay. Hajjaj bin Yusuf, when it was about his end, you know, he was ending after all the zulm that he's made, thousands of people he had killed unjustly. So towards the end, he was going through some serious spells of sicknesses and illnesses. So much so that coal, burning coal, had to be applied to his body for some satisfaction. With that also, he would still find a shiver. and he's sleeping or he's awake, he sees the face of Sayyid ibn Jubayr, one of the people that he had killed. And that Sayyid ibn Jubayr is telling him, but why did you have to kill me? What wrong have I done? And that thought is just haunting him all the time until he called Hassan Basri rahmatullahi. See, I have done this. Hassan Basri rahmatullahi told him that, see, I warned you in advance, don't play with this type of things. The servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't play. Zulm is something that through and through it is a darkness. Injustice is such a thing that it is through and through it is a darkness. And I warned you about this before. That one is an ordinary person and you wrong him. You be unjust towards him. Whether it's a kafir, whether it's an animal. Even an animal, a creature. That you don't be unjust. You're slaughtering also. Then you see to it that you make it as easy as possible. You don't torture the animal. So I'd warned you about this. And then, let alone a normal person, an ordinary person, you killed one of the great awliya of the time. Hajjaj ibn Yusuf says, see, what is past now. I can't reverse this thing yet. I'll just make dua that I just get out of this. He says he couldn't have a moment of ease. And then he died, and people saw him in the dream, and he says, no, you know, for every zulm that I've done, for every wrong I've done, I've been punished. Except for the wrong that I've done for Sayyid ibn Jubayr. He says, I'm going to be punished 70 times over for that. One time, and second time, and third time, and fourth time. Why do you do this? So you see the uneasiness, the discomfort. Now, many times, because of these type of situations, you got a jadu problem, you got a jinnah problem, you got anxiety, insecurity, feeling of dissatisfaction. You're not satisfied with your wife, with your children, you're not satisfied. What's happening? Is something went wrong somewhere down the line. You didn't give as you're supposed to be giving. You weighed or you measured shortly. Whatever dues, whatever compulsory dues, but you didn't do it as you're supposed to be doing. So that thing catches up with you. Somehow or the other it comes, it coils around and gets you again. It will definitely get you in the hereafter, but in this world also it will get you. So we need to ensure that rather than we taking that 1 ounce extra, we rather give it in full and give slightly more. And just as we think and we reason, you know, we're going to get slightly more by robbing and cheating, by giving out, when you're going to listen to Allah won't give you more. You think that by robbing and cheating, etc., you're going to get slightly more. By listening to Allah, won't you get more? Definitely you'll get more. One person went out in Jamaat, and that consciousness, the real thing that will come, that has to come into the mind is the consciousness, that awareness. In whatever situation you are in, that awareness has to come. Hazrat Ji Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that the important thing is not that everybody becomes a Mawlana, a Mufti Sahib, or a Hafiz Sahib. No. It's not for us, for everybody to become Mawlana, Hafiz and all that. No. But it is compulsory that every person becomes Muttaqi. He becomes conscious of Allah Ta'ala. At any given moment, I'm speaking one word, so I'm conscious of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that is this word rightly balanced or not? Am I hurtful in my approach? I'm transacting here. Is it right what I'm doing? I'm with my parents. Am I right as a son towards my parents? Is my friend I'm traveling with, now am I balanced also? Or on account of the friend's influence, I'm watching a video, I'm watching a television, or I'm listening to the music, because I feel now I don't want to spoil the relationship. I want to balance it. With Allah, I'll read the namaz also with the friend. I'll look at the video and I'll listen to the music as well. So at any given moment, I've got the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala that's prevailing over me at any given moment. Now this is what is called taqwa. So he says that it is compulsory for every person to become a muttaqi in whatever department of your life. You are wearing a new cloth, then what taqwa requires? What does the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala require? I'm speaking to a customer, what does Allah Ta'ala require from me at that time? I'm dealing with my staff, what does Allah Ta'ala require from me? I'm working with my boss, what does Allah Ta'ala require of me at that time? I'm working for him. But now my fikr and my concern is about my business. I'm working for you, I'm diverting the clientele to another shop. Now is that loyalty or not? See this type of consciousness, this awareness. Well, I'm a teacher now, for example, and I'm not teaching to the full. And then I'm advertising a tuition on the side. That you see, the time is insufficient, so you come for my tuition classes. And I'm knocking each student 500 rand in the month. So I have to plan it out like that so that he comes and he's tied up to the tuition classes. Now you see that consciousness, that awareness. If that awareness is there, then you will see that that student of yours, he must never fail. He must do that work. He must understand the concept. You're coming well prepared. Well prepared in your mind. No, I am responsible. I am answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it's a madrasa institute, whether it's a school, whether it's a university, whatever institute it may be. But I am well prepared because I've got the consciousness of Allah ta'ala. Otherwise, minus the consciousness of Allah ta'ala, I can be sitting in a masjid. I can be sitting in a madrasa. I can be sitting in a university. But while the students are there, I'm playing on the cell phone. I'm playing with something else. Now that means that you don't have the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. Do you see the importance of this advice? The important thing is the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, muttaqi. Otherwise, sitting in an institute also, and minus the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, you can be robbing and cheating. Outwardly, you feel abased about yourself. You feel quite comfortable about yourself. No, I'm fulfilling, I'm doing dini work. But really, what are you doing? If you had that consciousness, Allah Ta'ala is watching me. He is going to ask me that I have sold this time of mine to this institute, to this school, to this university, to this madrasa, to whatever institute, I have sold this time of mine. But in that time, I'm stealing away. I'm looking at my own computer. I'm looking at my own cell phone, etc. I'm engaging in a conversation. So Allah Ta'ala is going to question me about this. Now, if a person has got that consciousness, that awareness, that every second of mine, I'm going to be asked, then his whole attitude, his whole approach will be different. The first two questions on the day of Qiyamah is, one is your age and one is your youth. And two out of the five questions, two questions is time. Your age and your youth. See, I've sold you your time, my time I've sold you. You have bought my time, so the time doesn't belong to me. When it doesn't belong to me, am I truthful or am I cheating? And if I'm cheating really, then really I'm not supposed to be doing that work. I'm cheating in you. Every day I'm cheating with you. The hadith says it very clearly. لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ غَشَّنَا Who is cheatful towards us, then he is not from amongst us. Finish. Straight. In two words. You're not from us. You go out. You're not. Imagine now if Rasulullah is walking with a group of people here and he says, you move away. You get away. There's another group of people on that end, you go and join them. How will you take it? You will feel at that time that the earth must sink and swallow you. Right? Because Rasulullah himself expelled you from his jamaat, and you move away from my jamaat. Why? You cheated. You've robbed. So you move away. Now the person has got this hadith in mind. لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ غَشَّنَا He's not from amongst me. So he's going to be very conscious, very, very conscious. Hey, that moment, that second I've given, and this second, am I cheating or am I fulfilling? Just as the person that is cheating, he feels that he'll get more, then the one that is giving in full, he will get even more. And he will get real more. Real more with that satisfaction, with that enjoyment, with that happiness, with that affinity with his wife and children. Otherwise, everything is going to go. The affinity is going to go, the love is going to go, the satisfaction is going to go. You will outwardly get something more, but everything else will be gone. So it will be big in number and hollow in quality. There won't be any quality in it. No satisfaction, no happiness, no fulfillment. So this person was out in Jamaat. He came back. He's got a shop in front of the haram, a jewelry shop. That jewelry shop is not like our small jewelry shops here. It's peanuts. You go and see the jewelry shops, really, it's really jewelry shops. So, he came back and he collected his sons that were working for him, three or four children, and he told them, see, this is what I've learned, that the hadith says that you must give in full, not only in full, but slightly more. The worker, he'll give slightly more. Slightly more. He's supposed to be working for 8 hours, he'll give half an hour more, or 15 minutes more. By the same token, the employer, he's supposed to be giving 1,000 rand. So I said, no, man, I think I may have slipped up somewhere. Somewhere or the other, I gave 50 rands more. So the worker is thinking about his answerability and consciousness, and the employer is thinking about his consciousness and answerability. That like he's going to be answerable, I'm also going to be answerable. I haven't got any special relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Allah says, you're the boss now, so you, never mind, you go on side. You're coming in the VIA lounge, so you go separately now. All are going to be weighed and measured by the same scale. So he comes back and he tells his sons, you see what, this is what I've learned. That not only that you give till the full, but you give slightly more. Zin warjah. Zin warjah. Give and give slightly more. The children turned around and told the father, Abba, you know, this is not tomatoes and onions, you know, this is gold and silver. Tomatoes and onions, you give 1 ounce, 2 ounce more, it's all right. But here we're giving gold and silver, you know what it is? So the father says, and what I'm saying is not my words, my words is like tomatoes and onions. This is the words of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's more valuable than all the world and whatever it contains. So no, for that we got no answer. But we got no answer for that. Or we implement it. Gold, silver, whatever we're selling, but slightly more. Slightly more. We're supposed to give 1 ounce, we'll give 1 ounce and a few grams. We will do it. It's the promise of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's the command of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we'll go that way. That man had one shop. Right? From that one shop, he's gone to about 20 shops. And he calculated each month, the extra that he goes on to, you know, he calculates, he does all his calculations, it's approximately over 1.5 kilos of gold. But what happened? He gave more, he got more, and he's giving more. Right? He gave more, he's giving more, and he's getting more as well. From that one shop, now he's gone to over 20 shops. But who's the giver? He's the giver. You see how we have in a room, you know, if you have just one door, right, and you want that room to be ventilated, it can't be ventilated. You have to have an exit, you have to have an entrance. Now you'll get a cross ventilation. But you only have one exit and you want the ventilation to come, no. So you have to give and you'll get. As you give, you will get. You give out and you will get. You only want lam se le, and you don't want to give dal se de, it's not going to work out. It's a two-sided story. You give and you will get. You will give and you will get. You'll be fair and Allah Ta'ala will treat you not only with fairness, but also with kindness. He'll give you more. And apart from everything else, the deep down satisfaction, you're sleeping with total satisfaction. Okay. It was a small anecdote I read up, you know. It's a two little children, 7, 8 years of age. The boy gave the girl, he had some marbles, he gave all his marbles. But he saw amongst the marble, he got one toe, you know, they used to call it toe and a marble. So the most beautiful one he kept for himself, and he gave the rest of the marbles. And she gave all the sweets that she had. So she gave the best, and this one here says, oh, no, this one I'll keep it. I'll tell her that I gave everything. I will tell her that I gave her everything, but I'll keep this away. And she did all that loyalty required of her. She gave the best. That night, he was sleepless the entire night. Hey, she must have robbed me, you know. She must have cheated me. She must have pulled away some things away from me. And she slept like a baby, she slept. Because she knows she gave everything. And here his consciousness had troubled him to think that she must have been also unloyal, disloyal towards him. So you see that unloyalty and disloyalty, it has the type of effect. It has the type of consequence. You are loyal, you are honest, you are truthful, you will get that type of reward as well. But if you are not loyal, and you want loyalty, it's not going to happen. In any respect, and mind you, up to the extent of wife and husband relationship, and you are unloyal, and you will see the unloyalty being, you'll be seeing yourself being treated in that way as well. You will be treated in that way. If it's not your wife, then it's your children. Someone down the line is going to be unloyal. But you've been loyal, you've been faithful, you'll find 9 out of 10, your children also coming the same way. But if you are unloyal and you want that type of loyalty, no, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Muftar Rahmatullah used to give one incident, you know. In India, it's quite common. They don't sell milk like how they sell milk here, bottles and plastic sachets and all that. Up to the time we were studying, so the man milks his animals, buffaloes, whatever. He's got a big bucket, and he'll come and deliver. And he's got a measuring cup, so he'll measure it and give it to you. You get a door service. They come right to your door and they give you that service. So now what they will do, those guys, those ones that are a little bit more sharp and more smart, if they got 10 liters, then they will add 10 liters of water. Now you don't know what it is, so you're buying from them. If they are selling at 1 rand a liter, so now if he's diluted the thing, now he's getting 20 rands for 10 rand worth. Right? So anyway, he sold all his milk and he found a nice tree and he's relaxing under the tree. Right? A tree is overlooking a small little well or something and he's relaxing under the tree. Now he's sleeping sound. And the monkey, you know, it's full of tricks. So that thing saw, now he's there's a wallet nearby. It's looking a little bit interesting, colorful and all that. So that thing picked that wallet. And before this person could catch him, that thing ran up the tree. Now he's alert, he's seeing that monkey took away his wallet and he's gone up the tree. So the monkey is taking out 1 rupee and is throwing it right directly into the well and taking out another rupee and putting it into the land. One into the well and one onto the land. One onto the well and one into the land. So he says, Pani ka pani, dood ka dood. Pani ka pani, dood ka dood. You will carry on like this. It's a small anecdote, it's a small story, but it's a lesson, really. You know, what you worked for, you will get that. And what you robbed and cheated, then it will come with a pain. It will come with a punishment. It will come with consequence. You know, I was just explaining to someone that when a commodity becomes scarce, it becomes extinct, then it becomes most precious, isn't it? Supply and demand, that's the rule. And I feel, even in deen, supply and demand is the rule. And the dalil for that, the proof of that is, Man ahya sunnati, the one that revives my sunnat, after it's died, then his reward is multiplied 100-fold. Normally you do a sunnat, you get a sawab, right? But now the sunnat has become extinct, and now you revive the sunnat. Now the sawab is multiplied. Now you look at these type of qualities, these commodities, these products, products of truth, of honesty, of loyalty, faithfulness. Really, they are all products that are becoming extinct, out of the market now. You talk to anybody, say, no, there used to be someone that was trustful here. There was someone that was faithful. There was someone that was very loyal. There was someone very committed, you know. But now that is it's an outdated commodity. Now you don't get it nowadays. Whatever profession it is, but he's not committed to it. He doesn't assume the type of responsibility. So there used to be that thing in the marketplace, but now you don't get that in the marketplace any longer. Now if someone brings it up, really Allah will reward him even greater. And I'm saying this, trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you'll get rewarded even greater. Not only dini wise and not only akhirat wise, even dunya wise. Even dunya wise, it will speak for itself. You know, the trust and that faithfulness, that loyalty, that honesty, that will speak for itself. See, Allah Ta'ala has got two systems. One system for this world and one system for the hereafter. Then in the hereafter also there's two systems. One system for the qabr and one system for the akhirat. It's two different systems. It's not the same system. The systems are created by Allah Ta'ala, but they work differently. Here in this world, you eat, and if you overeat, then you're going to belch. You're going to get constipated, right? You're going to get stomach problems. And there in the akhirat, you'll keep eating, 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 and you'll just belch, everything is digested. See, the systems are different, right? Here the system is, you can only eat one plate, after that you'll have sugar problem, heart problem, you'll have a pressure problem, all type of problem you'll have. And then you keep on eating. You eat, keep eating, and there's no problem. You just belch 1-2 times, everything is gone. A nice musk flavor is coming out. And here you belch, nobody will stand next to you. See, Ramzan time, and pre-Ramzan, this is a pre-Ramzan class. You don't overeat that samosas and bhajia at iftar. Now all that adrak smell is coming out right in namaz. And now when somebody next to you, definitely he gets upset. He doesn't feel comfortable. So you just have something brief for that iftar. And after Isha, you can eat as much as you want. So you won't burp at the time of Maghrib, not in Taraweeh, nobody is disturbed. But now you overeat. Overeat. Definitely someone is going to be disturbed. This is something that is sensible, very simple. Even the Hafiz is not supposed to eat, overeat. Because he's going to overeat, he can't read properly, he can't take breath. He's going to be grasping for breath. He can't be eating and he can't be overeating. He must eat average. When I was reading an article, Waqidi is a great historian. And in history, his works are normally accepted, Waqidi, Hussein al-Waqidi. So he was in the presence of Harun al-Rashid, and a Christian physician came in. So he says, you know, really, there are just two branches of education. One is religion, right? That is the akhirat. Here are everything that is related to the akhirat. That's one science of education. And the other six science of education is the body, right? So one is the spiritual and one is the physical, right? As far as a man is concerned, then there's two dimensions. One is the physical and one is the spiritual. If you only got the spiritual, it doesn't work. And if you only got the physical, it doesn't work, right? The spiritual gives you a certain, it gives you a certain product, and the physical will give you a certain product. Right? The physical will give you a better formation, better shape, etc. Your limbs are working better for a longer period, right? Right? So that's the physical education, and that you call medicine, right? And the other dimension of education is spiritual. Now you've got all the physicals in place, but you don't have the emotions right, you don't have inner satisfaction, you don't have happiness, etc. So there's something wrong in the spiritual side. So your spiritual side is being starved, and therefore you have all these type of problems. You have depression, you have anxiety, you have all these type of emotional problems. Why? Because your emotional self, your spiritual self is being starved. When your physical self was being starved, you knew how to get the solution. But your spiritual self, you don't know. So you can only be complete if you've got both. Otherwise it's a half a job. You only got the physical self right, and you didn't get the spiritual self right, so it's a full job, it's a half a job. Half a job. Like you got all the brickwork in the madrasa, you got everything right. You don't have electricity, you don't have plumbing, you don't have water, you don't have any kitchen here. Well, you want to be around? You don't want to be around. Well, you only got the brickwork, you got nothing else. So it's half a job. Half a job is this type of a structure, and the rest of it is the finishes. Now you got the finishes, now you say it's a complete job. So similarly, you got a physical self and you got a spiritual self. A physical self, you need a certain type of a treatment, and a spiritual self, you need a certain type of a treatment. So this physician, this Christian physician says, you see, there's two education basically. One is physical, one is spiritual. Right? Has your Islam taught anything about the physical side? It's taught about the spiritual, all right, but has it got anything to do about the spiritual side? About the physical side? I said, yes. Well, the Quran Sharif says, "Kulu wa shrabu wa la tusrifu." Eat and drink, but don't waste. So what do you mean by waste? Something that is done in excess. Anything that is done in excess, that is wasteful. Now, a simple thing of waste, we talk of waste, all right, don't waste water, don't waste food, etc. Right? That's one type of waste. That's also haram. Right? But one waste is overeating is also wasting. Because you're doing it in excess. Why is it wasting? Why is in excess? Why will you say you're doing israf? Simple example, your bucky can take, say, one ton, right? And you load it up with 2 tons, what's going to happen? Something's going to show, isn't it? So your stomach, etc., can take a certain amount, half a kilo it can take. You are filling it up with 1 kilo. Or you can take so much of sugars, so much of proteins, so much of whatever else it can take, and you're taking more than what it can take, then really, are you doing it a service or disservice? You're doing it a disservice. Because it could take so much, and you're taking more than that. So the Quran Sharif has ruled out, don't waste. So alright, that's the Quran Sharif that says don't waste. Because now your feet is going to show now, you're overeating. The machine was just prepared to manage a certain amount. So you're overworking the machine, you're already making zulam on the machine. It was prepared, it was created by Allah Ta'ala that you put a certain amount. The feet was made that it can carry a certain weight. So the feet can't manage you. Your stomach and your machine, inside in the machine, it can't manage you. So you are exceeding the limit. Alright, does the hadith have to say anything about it? So he says, the hadith also has got something to say about it. So one hadith says that the stomach is like a reservoir. Right? And you see a reservoir in a town, right? The reservoir got a pipeline right through, got a network right through the town. So if the reservoir got a clean quality of water, good quality of water, then the whole town is going to enjoy with the quality of water. But if that reservoir has got something wrong, it's polluted, then the whole town will be polluted. So your stomach is like that. It's like the reservoir. It's preparing that nutrition, it's preparing that energy, etc., for the entire body. If that thing is going to be corrupt, it's going to be upset, then it's going to supply that type of energy. So you'll feel weak, you'll feel lethargic, you'll feel the type of weakness within you. Why the reservoir is not right? That's the first hadith. Or there may be some kalam on the hadith itself, but it's a hadith after all. The second hadith says that Al-himyatu rasu kulli dawa. Al-himyatu rasu kulli dawa. You know, dieting, eating correctly, it is the cure for every illness. You're talking of this cure and use this medication, but if you have the right type of diet, right food combination, etc., then this is the cure for every illness. Right? You're dieting correctly, you're eating correctly, then this is the cure in itself. Right? Right? Now you see small children now coughing, someone said, young children, oh, my chest is constrained, it's tight, very tight chest. So you ask him, last night what you had, ice cream and cold drink. So you must experience that. You must experience that. And the third hadith says, one is himyatu rasu kulli dawa, one is the stomach being the reservoir. And the third hadith says that eat what your body is used to. Now you are used to chilies, you eat to the level that you are used to, your body has been used to from birth. Now you're going to overeat chilies, what's going to happen? Something's going to show, ulcer, something's going to happen. But you're eating what you can manage and what your body has been familiar right throughout your age. Now you're not going to have complications. But now you're eating so much of glucose, so much of sweets, so much of ice cream, whatever, your body's not used to it. Obviously it's going to tell at some point. Now this Christian physician, when he heard this, he says that your Quran and your Hadith has not even left anything for the founder of medicine, Jalinus. He's the founder of medicine. He's not left nothing for him as well. It's so comprehensive. Anyway, what we're talking about is trust and loyalty. And I explained that Allah has got different systems in this world, different systems in the hereafter. And a different system in the Qabr, and a different system in the Akhirat. The system that He's got in the Qabr is, you can only speak the truth. Nothing else but the truth will come out of your mouth. That's the system in the Qabr. And the system in the Akhirat, before Allah Ta'ala, you'll be able to speak a lie. Wallahi Rabbina ma kunna mushrikeen. Allah Pak, we weren't Hindus, we weren't kafirs, Hindus, Christians, Shias and all, we weren't like that. So there, before Allah Ta'ala, what are you saying? That you never made shirk. You weren't a Hindu and all that. You weren't a Shia, you weren't a kafir, you weren't a Qadian, you weren't anything like that. And in the Qabr, you can only speak the truth. So here, before Allah Ta'ala, you got the ability to speak a lie. In the Qabr, before the Malaika, you can't speak a word of lie. What's the reason? That before the Malaika, when they're interrogating you, you can't speak a lie. And before Allah Ta'ala, that's the Creator, He knows what's in your heart, there you're speaking a lie. So the reason is, the Malaika don't have a scanning machine to see what's inside your heart, whether you're speaking a lie or not. Right? So Allah Ta'ala made the system such, that you will be weighed and you will be examined accordingly. Because they don't have the machine. So you'll only speak the truth. You won't go above the limit. You won't go beyond the limit. Only the truth. If you know the answers, you know the answers. If you don't know the answers, you know the answers. Allah Adri. But when you're standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah knows what's inside. So when you're going to speak a lie, Allah ta'ala will just seal the mouth. Al-yawma nakhtimu ala afwahim. We'll just seal the mouth. And then the hands are going to speak out. The feet are going to speak out. So the system in the Qabr is different, and the system in the Akhirat is different. See? So you see this truth. This truth is the thing that counts. In the Qabr also it counts, and there also it counts. So this loyalty, this faithfulness, this truth, really, it's a very, very extinct commodity in this day. And the more we adopt it, the more we bring it, the more you will find you're being rewarded, recompensed in this world as well as the hereafter.